Heavenly Father, we love you this morning. We thank you so much for the privilege to open your word, that we have your word that we can read and study and cherish and memorize. There are countries today around this world that just would love to have the word of God in their language and have a copy of the word of God in their home. Even in this country, there are homes without the word of God in the home. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us to cherish what we have and to share it. Now I pray in this Sunday school hour that you would help us to study your word, allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us and to us, and to apply the truths that we learned today that we might be better Christians for being here. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In this quarter, we're continuing the line in the sand, Bible-based convictions that we have from the Word of God. And that's the only convictions that we can stand upon in this world today, that we have times and troubles that come against us. If we have those convictions in the Word of God, based on the Word of God, they'll help us to stand. And there are people today standing for their faith and for their beliefs, and they're giving their lives for that. I don't think it's much longer, and it'll be in this country as well. The writing's definitely on the wall, as they say, in the newspaper and in the news, and how persecution is coming to Christians in this world. You must have your conviction based on the Word of God, for it's the one that's settled forever in heaven. You know, we looked last week at God's love as an everlasting love. It's an unchanging love. It's an unconditional love. It's an eternal love. It's infinite. It's genuine. It's the source of all love, because the Word of God told us in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. He can't change. He is unchangeable. He is love. So His love is unchangeable. It defines His character of who God is. He is love. And we know in this world that we have love that is not the same type of love that God has. There's that free love and the infatuation love and the puppy love and the lustful love and the Hollywood type of love. There's the family love and the relationship love and the love of your children and your relatives. But it's not the same as God's love. God's love is above all loves. It is nobler than our love. It is sweeter than our love. It's higher than our love. It's a love that goes beyond imagination and belief. We saw last week, before we placed our trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God loved us. It tells us that. Romans 5:8, John 3:16. God loved us when we were so unlovely. And not now that we're saved, not that we're any lovelier. But God still loves us with that same love. It's an everlasting love. So after we place our faith in Jesus Christ, He loves us still the same as before we were sinners. But now it's even a closer relationship. And then we saw that as God's servants, now we are to serve God out of a heart filled with love towards Christ, with devotion and thanksgiving and with love. But I ended last week talking about what can separate us from the everlasting love of God. And I made a statement, maybe it shocked some of you, but I made a statement last week that even those that God sends to hell and that are in hell today, He still loves them. He can't change. His love can't change. God is love. Now, He did not love their sin and their sin of unbelief, but He still loves them with us with an everlasting love. So what can separate us from the everlasting love of Christ? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, we're just going to look at a few verses. We could look at the whole chapter. But for sake of time, let's just zero in on a few verses here in Romans 8. And look with me in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul is writing to the church at Rome, to the Christians at Rome, and he's writing to these Christians trying to encourage them and build them up in the faith and to teach them how to live for Christ. And he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Think who's writing these words and knowing what he's already faced in his Christian life and what he's going to face in the rest of his Christian life. He's already or will in his Christian life suffer all of these things. Does it separate him from the love of God? No. Nothing can separate us from God's love. I said, even in hell, God loves those people in hell. So God cannot take back His love. It's an everlasting love. Satan cannot block, intercept, or deflect the love of God. It is a powerful love. There is not anything or anyone that will make God cease to love us with an everlasting love. Not even ourselves. We can't make God stop loving us. For God is love. No matter what we do, where we go, what we say, God still loves us. That's a staggering thought. For we know ourselves better than most people know us. No one knows us better than God knows us, and He says He loves us. We cannot separate ourselves from the love of God. We cannot separate ourselves, but we can. We cannot separate ourselves from the love of God, but we can separate ourselves from the blessings and the benefits of God's love, but not from the love of God. We can remove ourselves from the blessings of God's love. Those people in hell today that are in torments have separated themselves from the blessings of God's love and the benefits of God's love. If you are a Christian today and you are living a lifestyle of sin, and maybe it's secret, nobody knows it, you're separating yourselves not from the love of God, but from the benefits and the blessings of God's love. Think back, last week we talked about the prodigal son and how he demanded his portion of the inheritance, and he went out and he spent it all, and he ends up in the swine, with the swine, eating the husk with the swine and feeding with the swine. He had separated himself not from the Father's love. He had separated himself from the benefits and the blessings of God's love or his Father's love. But remember the end of that parable when it says, "And when he was on his way home and he was yet afar off, his father saw him." His father was watching for him and waiting for him. That shows the father's love. It never ceased for his son. And it never ceases for us. He desires for us to live for him and to worship him and to live a life that's pleasing to him. In Romans 8:35, it lists, anytime you see a list in the Bible, take note. First, what's mentioned in all the list, and then who's the list towards and to, and then what's number one in the list. But before we get to the list, there's something I want to point out in 8:35 of Romans. Who shall separate us? The word separate. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I don't know if we have any Greek scholars in here today, but I did a little study on that word in the Greek, in the original language of the New Testament. And praise the Lord, there's people out there that know Greek and have done those studies that we can benefit from. That little word is a verb, separate. And it is translated in the original language as charizo. Charizo. And it is only used 18 times in the Bible. It comes from the noun kora, which means space or room. Space or room. And when put in the verbal form, it has the idea of putting space between two things. Putting room between two things. That is what charizo means here. This separate, this verb in Romans 8:35 means to put room between two things. It has the meaning to separate, to leave, to depart, or to be taken away. Notice then, who shall separate us? Who shall cause space to be put between the love of God and man? Nothing. Not this list. And we could add to this list today. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can put room between us and the love of God. Isn't that a staggering thought? Notice also just two places in the Word of God where this word is used. This separate, this charizo. One is found in Matthew. Look with that with me. Matthew chapter 19. This verse is found in one other gospel, but we'll look in Matthew 19. And verse number 6. Matthew 19:6. The Word of God says, and Jesus is speaking here, and He's talking about things that have come before and talked about in the book of Genesis. And He says, wherefore they are no more twain. Let's back up. I can't just jump in the middle. Matthew 19 will begin in verse 3. The Pharisees also came unto Him, tempting Him, and saying unto Him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And He answered and said unto them, have ye not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. The word leave there is charizo. Go on to verse 6. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put charizo asunder. Let not man put space between man and woman, man and wife. Let not man separate or to depart from or to put space or room in between. That's what that verse means. That's charizo. And then also we see that verse, and I have to think about this book every time I say it. Philemon, I want to call it Philemon for so bad. Philemon, and look at the 15th verse. Philemon only has one chapter. Look with me in verse 15. It's right before the book of Hebrews. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. You know the story here. Onesiphorus has departed from his master, and he's taken something of his, and Paul is writing to him. Onesimus has departed from his master, and he has taken something from him, and Paul has now been an encouragement and most likely led Onesimus to the Lord, and he's writing back to Philemon to tell him to receive him as me, to receive him as your own brother, not as a slave. And he's telling him here in verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. The word here, departed, is charizo. He's departed. He's made space between you two. And then one last place, just in the next book, in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, look with me in verse number 26. Hebrews 7:26. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Of course, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He could not have been a sinner. He wouldn't have been our Savior if He had been a sinner. He could not have sinned, or He would not have been our Savior. And it says here in Hebrews 7:26, He was separated from sinners. He was like our sin after we have accepted Christ as our Savior. When God says He puts it behind His back and He sees it no more and it's separated as the east is from the west, He said Christ was separated from sinners. He was charizo. There was space between the two. And there was space between when we were trusting Christ as our Savior, He put away our sin. He hid our sin. He forgave our sin. It was charizo. It was space put in between. That's the word found in Romans 8 and verse 35. So go back now with me to Romans 8:35. No one and no thing can put room or charizo between you and your Lord, His love. No one. No one can distance you from His love. You cannot even do that. His love is an everlasting love. So who can separate us? Who can charizo? Who can put space between the love of Christ and His followers? No one. No one. But unfortunately, we can separate ourselves from the benefits and the blessings of God's love. And then the next word I want to look at very quickly is, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Love. There's three types of love in the Bible. We're just going to look at this one today. The love of Christ is the same as the love of God. It's the noun agape. Agape, and it means God's deep, sacrificial, unselfish love. He gave His Son. He gave His only begotten Son. Christ loved us so much He went to the cross for us while yet we were sinners. Romans 5:8. That kind sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to save sinners like you and me. That's agape love. Who shall separate us? Who shall put space between that type of love and those that He loves? Which is everyone. Nobody. The term is love of Christ and love of God. It is not my love for God. It is His love for me. Nothing shall separate us from that type of love. So let's look at this list now in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Tribulation refers to the afflictions in life, and we all have them. It refers to our trials. It refers to our sorrows. It refers to our troubles and our pressures that are bearing down on us on this everyday life that we live. Those are tribulations. Paul had many. People just despised Paul. They wanted to kill Paul constantly. They hear him come to town and they'd want to stone him to death or string him up or do something to Paul and hush him. We, in our everyday lives, face these tribulations. This world is not our home. We have a home that's built by God. And one day we'll see it by sight, not faith. But on this journey of life that we have, serving God out of a heartfelt love for God, for what He's done for us, we're going to face those temptations, those tribulations. We're going to face those trials. We're going to face those afflictions. We're going to face those sorrows. We're going to face those pressures that are bearing down on us every day. When you have those, remember, nothing can separate you from the love of God. That agape love. Then also we see there's distress. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall distress. Distress refers to the narrowness and the tightness of being confined in a tight and oppressive space. Do you ever feel like you're just bound? Do you ever feel like you're just boxed in and you got to break the walls out? We feel like we're getting boxed in and there is nowhere to go. Our liberties are being taken from us and there's laws trying to be passed now to restrict our movements as Christians and our speech and our acts as Christians. Do we feel like we're distressed in this world? We should, because that's what's happening. The love of God's still there. The love of God. And we lose a loved one. If they were a Christian, God gives us that peace that passes all understanding. You know what that peace is? It's the love of God. When we have the pressures of this life bearing down on us, or we have these distresses that are just filling us so wrapped up and confined, we can't break the walls out, God still loves us the same. Then it says, or persecutions, or persecution. This refers to the act of being hunted down like a wild animal. We're not there yet in this country. But there are countries in this world today where Christians are being hunted down like a wild animal and being killed and tortured, trying to get them to renounce their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's a genuine faith, I pray that we would all stand. You know, you hear these stories or see the paintings of the English hunt, and they're on their horseback and all their finery, and they're riding through the hunt trying to chase this poor little fox. That's what persecution is here. We're like that little fox. And God still loves us the same. Even through those days of being hunted down like a wild animal, God still loves us with an everlasting love. And then the word famine refers to hunger, doing without food. You know, Christ says He is our sustainer. He is the bread of life. He is the everlasting Father. He is the water, the fountain of life. I believe this word can also mean not just physical hunger, but spiritual hunger. You know, there's countries where the Word of God is banned. They take it away from them and they burn it. Think back to the days of World War II that we just celebrated D-Day, and now they're marching towards Berlin, and Hitler was a crazed fanatic that wanted to destroy the Word of God. You can't destroy the Word of God. It's a living book. And God's love is still there, the same unchanging love. Who shall separate us from the love of God through our famine? No one. Then we come to the word nakedness. Refers to the lack of sufficient clothing. And what does the Word of God tells us? That we are clothed in His righteousness. That's the love of God. We're clothed in God's love. Who shall separate us from the love of God and the love of Christ, even through nakedness? No one. No situation. Then we come to peril. This refers to danger of any kind, natural or man-made. Hurricanes come off the coast, earthquakes around us even now, tornadoes, natural disasters just seem just prevalent in these days. But then there's man-made, you know, I grew up and people were worried about building bomb shelters because of the nuclear threat in the world. We don't have to worry about that. Don't go out and try to build a bomb shelter. God loves us with an everlasting love. And if we had a nuclear strike here today, you know, North Carolina is one of the best targets for a nuclear strike of any state, really. We have so many huge military bases around here, important bases. And if it struck anywhere near us, we'd be in glory. We'd be with the love of the Lord forever. This refers to danger of any kind, natural or man-made. So it means to be at risk, facing danger. Think of Paul's life. Think of the dangers Paul faced. He had to be lowered by a basket outside of a city wall because people wanted to kill him. He had to be put in a ship and it crashed and shipwrecked, and they were going to kill him before they abandoned the ship. And he's, you know, no, don't do that. God has a plan. They get on the island. He's snake bitten by gathering firewood. Through all the dangers and peril that Paul faced, separated him from the love of God. Sword is next. Refers to a violent death. How did Paul die? Not of ripe old age. He died, tradition tells us, by beheading. by the sword or an axe, by a sharp instrument. The execution of Christians for their stand and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, refusing to denounce their faith. Paul, the writer of Romans 8:35, was executed because of his faith in Christ. And even as he was taken to the executioner's block, God's love was never separated from him. He stepped from this life into the presence of God with the love of God never separating from him. So we cannot be separated from the love of God, because God is love, and he has said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave thee. I didn't pick that verse out this month because of this lesson. I didn't have this lesson planned when I picked that verse out, but God did. He will never leave us or forsake us. And that means his love will never leave us or forsake us. So, to be separated from the love of God is to be separated from God. And that's impossible. Look back now where we started last week in 1 John chapter 4. And I'll try to wrap this up. 1 John chapter 4. You know, I've drawn a line in the sand. I've got a Bible-based conviction. After this study, even more so now. God's love is there. I cannot get away from it. And knowing that, I should love him even more and do more for him. In 1 John chapter 4, though, and verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Notice the wording of this verse. And he, that's us, Christians, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. As we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us, and God is love, he that dwelleth in love, that implies we have the power to dwell somewhere else. He that dwelleth in love implies that we have the power to not dwell in God's love. That doesn't mean God's love is going to be separated from us. That means we're separating ourselves from the benefits and the blessings of God's love. We have the power to choose to refuse or remove ourselves from these benefits of God's love. We can dwell away from the benefits of God's love. That's what this verse is implying. If we're dwelling in God's love, then he's dwelling with us. Well, what if we're not dwelling in his love? When we choose to not accept his love, when we choose to refuse salvation, we're separating ourselves from dwelling in the love of God. Through disobedience as a Christian, we're disobeying God in some command that he has given us. Through that disobedience, God still loves us, but we have chosen to dwell away from the benefits of that love. We're not dwelling in the love of God. When we dwell in a love for things rather than dwell in a love for God, we're separating ourselves and placing those things before God. When we dwell in a place of unwillingness to forgive others, we're not separating ourselves from the love of God, we're separating ourselves from the benefits of God's love. So I hope this clears this up. Go back real quickly to Romans 8. I want to look at just two verses and we'll close. Romans 8 and verse 38 and verse 39. For I am persuaded, Paul is telling these Christians at Rome, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can't be separated from God's love. We can separate ourselves from those benefits of God's love. Are you dwelling in God's love today? Are you placing yourself in the presence of God's love and saying, I want to reside right here? He's going to love us no matter what. But are we choosing to dwell in that place? That's my question today. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this truth that we have in the Word of God. Oh, what a great truth. No matter what we might do, you still love us. And how we disobey you, how we... Oh, you could just be ashamed to call us Christians, but you can't. Help us to get to that place where we choose to dwell in your love and to do things that please you instead of those things that don't please you. We know that you're going to love us the same no matter what, but don't we want those benefits and blessings from your love? I sure do. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us now to draw a line in the sand and say, I want to dwell in that place of God's love. I don't want charizo. I don't want space between the benefits and blessings of God's love. I want to dwell right there in the midst of it. And I pray that's a prayer for all here today. Bless our pastor in the next hour. Fill him with the Holy Spirit's power and unction and give him liberty to speak. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to all of our hearts this day. In Christ's name we pray and ask it. Amen.